We started 2 weeks ago picking up on point number five in this psalm, the message that we're getting from it, David's Psalm of Deliverance. And point number five, we said, was performance after the deliveries. And that was found here in verses 29 all the way through 45. And we started talking about that. We're not going to go all over, but we started. There's three things that we're looking at here in these last verses of the psalm. And as I mentioned before, we covered verses 46 through 50 as we started, and we'll briefly look over them maybe as we get to the end. Not sure if we'll get there today or not, but we'll get as far as the Lord allows us to. But there was, in this, under number five, we had three points, and we started with praise in the performance here. Performance after deliveries is number five. Number one, and under that, is praise in the performance. Then there's a pursuit in the performance and a promotion in the performance. We'll see those as we go through it. The praise in the performance is the longest one, trust me. There's quite a few things here that we're looking at. And 2 weeks ago, we did look at the fact that there is praise for success, where it says in verse 29, for by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall, over a wall. There was praise for success, and David was praising God for his success there. The fact that he could do, we said he could do something that seemed impossible. He was, with God's help, he was able to run through that troop, and the word troop there means a crowd or of soldiers or an army or a band of men, something difficult. God was able to give David success to do something difficult as well. He is able to do that for us, too, in our lives. We get up against things sometimes, and we think they're just seemingly too difficult for us to do. But with God's help, we are able to do what seems to be the impossible sometimes. Now, that doesn't mean that we are Superman, that we can fly off a building or something like that. We're not talking about foolish stuff. We're talking about normal things that come up in life and things that come up in our lives that physically speaking, you and I can't do them. And they might not be, it might not be something physical. It may be something emotional or spiritual with us that we're up against, something we're fighting that we just can't seem to get over. And it just seems like, you know, day after day, it's the same thing, and we can't get through this thing. Folks, trust me, God was able to help David run through the troop and leap over the wall. He can help you and I. We serve the same God that David did, and we don't need to re-preach that, all that, but I wanted to touch on that just to kind of bring us up to speed. But we said there was praise in success. And then in verses 30 and 35, we said there was a praise for shield, where he said he's a buckler here. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. And certainly he is our shield. He's our buckler. He's our strength. And Psalm 34 and verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. David was delivered by the Lord. He wasn't delivered by his own strength. He didn't go through the troop or over the wall by his own strength. He went by God's strength, and he continues to praise God here in verse 30, where he says, as for God, his way is perfect. Amen. God's way is perfect, folks. What everyone that was here yesterday heard was that the way of God is perfect, and it is the only way. Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. And please continue to pray for those folks. I was reminded as I was praying this morning, the Lord reminded me, you know, don't quit praying for the folks that was at Mike's funeral. You know, as time goes on, things kind of trickle down in our prayer life. We tend to as new things come up, we tend to kind of have less importance, so to speak, on the other things. But we need to continue to pray for those folks. Just because we haven't seen fruit doesn't mean there's not going to be fruit. And certainly, Pastor did a wonderful job of putting it out there, and I was just hanging on what he had to say, sitting here and praying the whole time. But I've learned that we should always be learning. But you know, it's when you're in that setting. I don't mean to get sidetracked here, but it's kind of just bear with me a minute. When you're in that setting, the one that's here in the casket, as long as they were the ones that they're a saved person, they've already given the message. Their life here on this earth is done. They've given their testimony, they've given their witness in this life, and it's just kind of, you bring it all together and just hit everybody with it one more time, if you can. And so Pastor did that. Curtis did that. You know, we haven't seen Curtis in a long time because he's been in the home and stuff, but we haven't seen him here. But yet his testimony remained, and his faithfulness to the Lord remained. And Curtis basically preached his own funeral here through Pastor Wilson. And I just thank the Lord for that, and thank the Lord for his promises. But he was, don't really know how I got on that, but as for God, his way is perfect. That's where it was. The word of the Lord is tried. David said it's been tried, and he knows it's true. He's a buckler. He praises God that he's a buckler for all them that trust him. He was a buckler for Curtis. He was a buckler for every one of that Powell family, and starting with Ed Krause, and how that things, as Pastor said, kind of snowballed through that family, and we praise the Lord for that. And they all know that he is a buckler, and they all know that they can trust in him. There's not only praise for a shield, but there's praise in verses 30 and 32 through 32 for the sovereign, where he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. David is praising God for being a sovereign God, for being the one who he can trust. And then we finished up with, there's praise for strength in verse 32, where we just read, where it says, as it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. And we read some things about that. We're not going to go over that again, but that brings us up to the next part of this, which is praise for speed. We find that in verse 33. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon the high places. Now, the Bible uses the word here, hinds. We know if you look that up in the Bible dictionary, that means deer. He maketh David's feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon the high places. David was praising God for the speed that he gave him to escape the enemy. How many times was the wicked Saul after him, or the murderous Saul after him for his life. But yet, if you go back further and you read all the stories of David and how he escaped the hand of Saul, we see speed given to David. And the fact that God gave him, he says here, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He made him, given the speed to get to places where, again, helped him to do what was impossible. Here we see more figurative language to describe David's enablement to God's enablement to help David escape the hand of Saul. Let's turn over to Psalm 144. We see David here, he's praising God for the skills that he has given him. He made his feet like hinds' feet. There's skill to that. And David is praising God for it. We can learn a lot from David and praise. How many times has God helped us through something, but yet we didn't properly praise him for it? We just made it through whatever we were going through, and we didn't really turn around and praise him for what he has done or the skill that he's given us to do whatever it is that we're faced with. In Psalm 144 and verses 1 through 3 says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength. He teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him?" We see David praising God for teaching him here. I did it again. I've went over my notes. That's okay. We were on praising God for speed and the high places, and I've got ahead of myself here. We read that. We'll be good. Just hold your place there. Excuse me. Sometimes I can't understand my own writing. But we were talking about him making his feet like hinds' feet back in Psalm 18. And he said, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet." Let me grab this and we'll be right back. "And setteth me upon the high places." God set David upon high places to escape Saul, and David praised him for it. Then that brought us up to praising God for schooling. That's what I was reading this, and I was like, why did I write that down? But here in Psalm 144, David is praising God that he taught him. He said, "He teacheth my fingers to war, or my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. In he whom I trust, he subdueth the people under me." David, again, praising God here for the schooling that he gave him, the teaching that he gave him. Turn over to Job. Turn back to Job. Job and 36. Thinking about David praising God for his schooling, I always found this verse interesting, part of this verse anyway. For 36 and 22 says, "Behold, God exalteth by his power, who teacheth like him." Folks, who teaches us like the Lord? You know, we're here speaking in Sunday school with, you know, we call this a teaching time, or some call it a preaching time. I don't know where you draw that line. But we're here, and pastors here to help you to teach you things. I don't just get up here and open my Bible without ever looking at it during the week and giving you something that God has given me, I study it out and then I give it to you, and I'm hoping to teach you something. But what I teach, what Pastor Wilson teaches, what Wyatt teaches, what Pastor Covens has taught and continues to teach is one thing. But the Bible says here in Job in 36 and verse 22, the end of that verse, who teacheth like him? Folks, there's no one that can teach you like God can. You know, we're rolling around here. We're in the first of the year in January already, and today is the 4th of January, and many people will go by a Bible reading schedule. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. Nothing in the world wrong with a Bible reading schedule. You can have that. You can do that. I would encourage you to do it. Reading through your Bible, whether you read through it in a year or whether it takes you 2 years or even longer, I am not a reader. My study comes to me very hard because I'll get to looking into things, and I've learned things from Pastor Cobens, and I've learned things from Pastor Wilson on studying, and I find it very hard to read and read and read and keep my thoughts all together. I'm just that way. I have to force myself to do those kind of things. And so therefore I'm not a fast reader. But I encourage you to read your Bible. But I also encourage you to study your Bible. You will never learn more. You'll learn more by picking out, going through the Bible and finding a passage or a subject and studying it, or doing word study or something like that, than you'll ever learn by just read. Because I find myself doing the, okay, I checked it off. But did I learn something? Now, I'm not taking away from the importance of reading your Bible. Don't get me wrong. Don't take me that way. You should read your Bible, but we should study the Word of God and get something from it. And what do we do? When we're doing that, am I teaching you? I'm not teaching you. Pastor Covens isn't teaching you. Wyatt's not teaching you. Pastor Wilson's not teaching you. God is teaching you, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says here, who teacheth like him? I read that verse many years ago, and it stuck out to me, and it comes back from time to time, and it came back as I was studying through here as a reference verse for this, as David's praising God for his schooling. I thought, you know what? Who teacheth like him? Who can teach us, Tracy? And you'll never, I know you wouldn't do this. You'd never discredit any teaching you've got from the pulpit here or anywhere else. But when you're just there in that word and he speaks to your heart, he's teaching you. Folks, I encourage you to dig in and find something and study it. And let God teach you. Mm-hmm. Who teacheth like him? Amen. I believe it was said, one of the girls told me last week that Pastor Wilson said, when Wyatt was going to come up here and fill in, that any of the men in this church should be able to do this. And I agree with that. That probably scares some of you. But it shouldn't. You know, most people, it's the fear of standing right here. And trust me, I am one of the most backward farm boys that you ever met before I got saved. And even after I got saved many times, and until God began to deal with my heart over the years about helping in the ministry and doing things in the ministry to be a help, it put me here, and I'm sure there's there's several of you, especially you older ones, that sat through what you probably thought, what? Why did Pastor Coben let him stand up there? Because what he says is not making any sense. But God gave me those times and those experiences. And again, I've learned from you. I've learned from Pastor and others. But nobody's taught me like God has. Nobody has taught me like God has. And he can teach each and every one of you. Don't be afraid, so to speak, to stand up here in front of this crowd, especially this crowd right here, okay? Pastor spoke of it yesterday about the family, the church family, and the strongness of the church family. He's emphasized that since he come here. The strongness of being together as a family to the point that it's stronger than your physical blood family. And it certainly is. So, men, if Pastor ever says something to you, and he's not going to spring it on you, okay? Trust me, he's not going to do that. He's not going to say, Tyler, get up here. I need a lesson. He's not going to do that. Don't be scared of that. But I used to try to teach the young boys when I had the teen class downstairs, and I used to give them time. I'd give them maybe 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, and have them do something. Something from the Word of God, something that would help. And it, to me, it was a training time for them. Why, you remember doing that? You did that in the class? You probably was absent. You're in the corner, one of the other. But you know, I used to try to do that with them. It gave them a little bit of experience, okay? That doesn't mean that God's going to send you to the deep, darkest bushes of South Africa, okay? Don't be scared of that. But you should have something. If nothing else, folks, men, if Pastor said, I need you to help out next Sunday or 3 Sundays from now or whatever, I need you to get up and give something for Sunday school or whatever it may be, you should have at least one thing, okay? And it don't have to be down paper, because every one of you that's trusted Christ as your Savior should have one thing in your heart, in your mind, and that's your testimony. If nothing else, get up here and give your testimony and tell what God did for you and see that it would be a help for someone. But I was told that Pastor had mentioned that, and I was encouraged by that. But bringing this all back together, it's God who teaches us, folks. It is God who teaches us. Who teacheth like him? He is the great teacher. He's the great physician, he's known as, but he is the great teacher. Who taught Paul on the backside of the desert for those years before he was cut loose in the ministry? It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What powerful teaching, what bringing up to speed he brought Paul to. Because Paul wasn't there those 3 years. He was in the background. He was unsaved. He was causing havoc and persecution. But those 3 years that Jesus taught his disciples on this earth, Paul wasn't there for that teaching. But God allowed him to be brought up to speed on the backside of the desert. And God taught him. And no doubt that's why Paul's ministry had such a profound effect. He had one-on-one teaching with the one who the Bible says who teacheth like him. David was praising God for that teaching. There's one more verse I want to look at there, and that's Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 48. Hold your finger there in Psalm. We'll be back. Just got a verse here to look at. Isaiah 48. 48 and, did I write this down right? I think I wrote down the right reference. Had it underlined, and nothing there is underlined. Just looked at it this morning, too. Nope, that's all right. Back to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. There's a reason it wasn't there. Trust the Lord for that. There was praise for speeds, praise for schooling. I wrote down here also on the schooling, God can teach us to do the impossible if we will listen to Him and His instruction. Then there's praise for salvation found in verse 35. It says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness have made me great. Since thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, praise for salvation here. God saved David from Saul's murderous plans. David was giving praise to God for his favor to him. All success in life is to be traced to the favor and kindness of God. Turn back to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm that we've already covered. Psalm chapter 5. And verses 11 and 12 says here, But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him with a shield. God's shield of salvation he offers here, and it uses the word favor here in verse 12. It says, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. That word favor means the kindness of God. It comes from the word delight, desire, or to be acceptable, accepted, or acceptance. And we certainly are accepted into the fold of God through the salvation that he offers here in Psalm 28 and verse 7. Psalm 28 and 7, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. David praised God for his salvation here, for saving him. And we see all through the Psalms how he praises the Lord for saving him. Sometimes that means in the sense of salvation, and other times it's like the times that he was able to escape Saul. And then we'll read this verse. I might say just a few words, but I've got more to say about it that I would like to just save till next week. But that's verse 36, and we'll just touch on this just a little bit. I don't have time to go all the way through it, but it says here in verse 36, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Many years ago, I studied through this, and I wrote this down in my Bible, a little note there to the side under that verse, and I didn't find this in any dictionary, in anybody's commentary, or anything else. It's just something, like I said a while ago, it's God that teacheth us. Who teacheth like him? the thought that came to my mind, and we'll just leave it here, when I read this verse many years ago, and the, like I say, the little notes that I've wrote in here, it says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." Now, I have put off, not necessarily put it off, but I haven't had a chance to talk to Pastor Wilson about this, because he would know, and I'm sure his wife knows something about it too, with being up in the Arctic. But I got right underneath this verse, snowshoes. Those big things that they put on, tie their shoes to, and walk out across the snow. You can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll hopefully talk to Pastor about it before I light into this next week. And it's nothing deep. It's just something that God taught me through this. When he says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps." So how do you enlarge your steps? How do you make them any bigger than they already are? Your footprint's only so big. But if you had snowshoes, you could walk across drifts of snow that are literally impossible for someone to walk across. So again, it kind of goes back to verse 29, where it says, "For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." That's God helping us to do what seems to be impossible. You're not going to walk through a drift that's 10 foot deep with your own shoes. If you're any size of man, you're not going to do that, because you're just going to sink into the snow. And if you've got any common sense, you're not going to try to walk over a drift that's 10 foot deep, because if you go down in it, how are you going to get out of it? But if you had snowshoes on, you could go over it. That's just a little teaser thought for you there as we go in, as we'll pick up on that next week. But we're going to talk about the praise for the steps. That's the last one in this point, and then we'll go on talking about the pursuit and the performance and the promotion. It's not a whole lot that I have left here in this, unless the Lord gives me a bunch more till next week. But we'll finish up this psalm, and still praying for direction. I do believe I'm going into Psalm 19 after this, until the Lord gives me something else.